And that was Welcome to My Church, the National Anthem, and the Pledge of Allegiance of those kids singing that or saying that for their grandmother on her retirement. Wasn't that just sweet as anything? This is Paul Jones. I'm coming to you live again. It is approximately 9:05 Eastern Standard Time, and I have probably one of the most interesting guys. I'll be honest, I'm not even sure how I came across you. Justin Williams. Justin, welcome. Welcome to my church. How are you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm excellent, Paul. First, I just want to thank you so much for having me as a guest on your show. I'm super excited to speaking with you. We got a chance to chat a little bit before you we started this right here, man. And I just get great vibes from you, and just thank you for what you do, man. Thank you for what you do.
Well, buddy, I can't tell you enough. And for those of you listening, I want you to do me a big favor. I want you to punch up the website of thehiddengateway.com. That's correct, right?
Thehiddengateway.com.
How did we hook up? How did I find you?
Well, I've been doing interviews now for maybe about a year, year and a half, and I'm always looking for great shows to be a guest on. And so I signed up for, I think it was Radio Guest Show List,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And I saw your advertisement on there, and I said, wow, I need to reach out to this guy. I did. And hey, I'm so happy you responded, and here we are.
Yeah, we've had maybe 10 or 15 emails back and forth, your schedule and then the time zone stuff. He's in Phoenix, Arizona, which is the gateway of hell for children in school right now, but we might not talk about that. But but we went back and forth, so that's why I did forget, because I have several listings on different sites, and you're right, it's our radioguest.com or something like that, and they have brought us great guests, which we were just talking. Justin has his own podcast and just put up a new one today, and you need to check that out. But hey, so here's the deal. Justin Williams, he's worked at various capacities in the healthcare and financial sectors for many years, and is currently the host of the Hidden Gateway podcast. As a young man, and I'm interested in this, you had a near-death experience that basically opened your eyes to the world beyond. You use higher power a lot when you talk. The words higher power a lot. He had a book come out in November 17th. 2021, if the stats are right, called In the Eye of the Father, right? In the Eye of the Father. And you got a new one coming out in April called The Hidden Gateway of Knowledge. So that's kind of 411, right?
Yes, sir.
So I have no clue what we're going to talk about other than the things that I've got a couple questions, but I do want to give you a moment to tell the listeners, who is Justin Williams?
Well, you know, that I love that question. I love when people ask me that, Paul. And the first thing I always say is that I am a spirit having a human experience. You know, I was one of those kids that went to church 3, 4, 5 times a week, right? So my experience or my introduction to the Father began at an early age. And my parents were together. However, I did experience a lot of trauma, and I mean a lot of trauma in my youth at the hands of my father.
Your father was a Marine, right?
Yes, sir. That's right. He was a Marine, but he was also alcoholic. And on top of that, he dealt with a lot of intergenerational trauma that he never received healing from. You know, so this is this toxic, dark energy that traveled through our family line for years upon years upon years. And as I got older and looked back at my family history and start asking questions and gathering information, I then became aware that this energy went back for several generations, my father to his father's father, and so on. And then here it was at me, right, where I was on the end of this abusive relationship that I had with my dad. And it was really bad, right? His mantra was, a child is to be seen and not heard.
I've got that written down, man.
Yeah. And that's the way it was. He was very controlling. You know, he made all the decisions for me. You know, he was very physically abusive, where he abused my brother, my mother, and myself. And I mean, hardcore abuse, right? I mean, there were times where he would take his belt, and this is back in the early, late 70s, early 80s, when they had those like 4-inch thick leather belts with the
Yeah.
five inch
My
metal
mom used
buckle.
race car track.
Yeah. So we would get beat with those. He would even take the belt and wrap it around our necks and drag us through the house with it, you know, things like that. Well, I remember when I was in the either the fifth or sixth grade, he told me to take a shower before he got home from work. And he worked afternoons for General Motors because I grew up in the Metro Detroit area with the Big Three, right? And I didn't take a shower, but he came home. It was summertime, about 11, 12 o'clock at night. First thing he asked me when he walked through the door, "Did you shower?" I said, "No, Dad, I was playing all day. I apologize, sir," because it was always yes, sir, no, sir. So he grabbed me by my collar, took me to the bathroom, shoved my head under the water, turned on the hot water, began washing my hair. He then went into the kitchen and boiled a hot oil treatment in on the stove. He then took that boiling oil and poured it over my head, made my hair fall out, burnt my scalp, and I couldn't cry. I wasn't allowed to cry because I was expected to be a man at 11, 12 years old. Then he pushed me to the ground after he finished, and he then left the room. But before he left, he said, "Get your ass in the shower now." But as soon as he left out, I got up, got in the shower, and then just it just came out. I just tears were just flowing at that point, you know. And those are just a couple of examples of the abuse I experienced. And that was rough, you know. A lot of times those bruises, those physical bruises would you know, heal in a matter of days, sometimes weeks. But the toughest thing that took time to heal that I experienced throughout my entire life was the psychological damage that it did. You know, so as I became an adult, and even as a child, this caused me to become very introverted. I had issues setting boundaries with people. I became a people pleaser person, you know, all that type of behavior that was not healthy for me. But, you know, and I had issues communicating because I had no voice. He was my voice. So I went through in my entire life dealing with these things and not knowing, you know, not knowing having or having awareness about certain things. And I thank God for my wife. She was the person that, you know, brought a lot of things to my attention several years ago. So that kind of started the healing process early on. And then fast forward to 2020 is when things took a strong pivot in my life spiritually. And what I mean by that, I went through a spiritual death and then rebirth. And then my life completely changed at that point and has brought me to where I am today.
And that, you know, that brings me, there's a couple things I didn't want to interrupt you as you went, but the couple things that you had said that I've heard so many times, some people refer to what you just referred to as a family curse, right? And it is very real that it could go back generations to generations to generations of pent up anger, aggression, things like this. I've even heard people discuss, you know, the mother carrying these burdens, and then it's transferred to the womb,
Absolutely.
and some people call it a family curse. I guess it really is. Until it's resolved, like with your father, was he of, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I am 44. I'll be 45 in a
Okay,
couple
so your
months.
father's roughly in his, would be, is he still alive?
No, he passed on back in 2007.
Okay, was he like in his 80s, something like that? So he was he of a of Korean War, World War II, Korean War type descent?
Well,
Did he
he
serve
was
during those
he
times?
was I think he was about 61 when he passed. He was born in 1942,
Oh,
so he wasn't in the Korean War. However, he did go into the military,
okay,
the Marines, when he was 16. So he lied about his age and got into the military at a young age. So and this was in the 50s, right? The mid to late 50s. So and then he was, I think it was Paris Island, if I'm
Paris
pronouncing it,
Island
that's
or
correct.
Camp Lejeune, one of the two,
Yeah, it was definitely Paris Island. But you know, that's in the South in the 50s for a 16-year-old kid being in the Marines. He experienced a lot of negativity, racism, etc.
Oh, hell
And a lot
yeah.
of those things that he experienced, he had issues getting over or working through, right? He didn't understand it. You know, even though he did grow up in the South, but then he moved to the North, to in Ohio, where things were much different. But he experienced a lot of these things, you know, in his youth in the Marines, because obviously the Marines, the service is much different now. But he experienced a lot of negative stuff, and that really made him question life and people. And if anything, he became really, really confused. And then, you know, the alcohol started, and which caused him to have issues with his mother, his father, and then my mom and my brother and I.
Did he ever, because again, I think so often, especially because what we're talking about clearly is mental health. Clearly, yes. At this point is mental health, and even can be borderline mental illness. There is a significant difference between the two. As I told you before, I have suffered from clinical depression, and I can go back to age 11, and then situational depression when the scandemic comes. So we all have mental health issues, and then mental illness is there, but is totally different. But the intriguing thing to me is people do not realize this family curse can be, man, it can impact generation after generation, because obviously I wasn't going down the rabbit hole of your father being in the military and being in combat or something of that nature. Did he ever were you able to ever resolve with him?
You know, the interesting thing is I obviously suffered a lot of abuse and trauma from him. But on the other hand, that never caused me to dislike him or stop loving him. You know, I was a dad's boy, papa's boy, right? I was always right up underneath him, looked up to him. He was my idol as a kid. You know, he was a strong man, very wise man. And one of the interesting things about him was, though he had that side, there was another side as well. It was almost as if it was a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, right? He could be this monster where he would be drunk and beating on us and all this torture. But on the other hand, he could be the most loving father, my best friend. People that knew him loved him. They didn't know this other side about him. He was a gentleman. He was known for just dressing to the nines, being very astute, well-spoken type guy, right? So, you know, now looking back on it, that was confusing to me. And it was very hard because I never knew what
it
dad...
It becomes resentful.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, in a way, it becomes resentful, right?
Yeah. I was like, okay, am I going to get the nice guy or am I going to get the monster? And so it was confusing and very stressful. And looking back on things, I actually suffered from anxiety as a young kid because of this, you know, just being scared. I lived in fear around him. Yeah. You know, it was tough.
Was there a time where you able, and there's a purpose here, and you can certainly, you know, say, hey, Paul, I don't even want to talk about that shit. Was there a time where you able to resolve with him?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So
was that the start of being able to, and because you said he passed away when?
In 07.
Okay. All right. Okay.
However, before he passed, he was in an incapacitated state for about 3 years before he passed, because 3 years prior to his passing, he had an accident where he fell and hit his head. He had prostate cancer and heart issues, and he becomes so sick and so weak. I literally had to go live with him for several months to take care of him. I was literally feeding him, taking him to his doctor's appointments, bathing him, everything, you know, for a period of time. And I remember late at night, I stayed at his house. He was in the Lazy Boy. I was in the other Lazy Boy. We were talking, and then we both fell asleep. I just remember right around 2 or 3 in the morning, I hear this bang, this loud bang. And it made me wake up. So I looked over there. He was not in his chair. So I jumped up, went into the other room. I see him laying on the floor saying, ow, ow, my head. And he, you know, fell because he was so weak. So I had to call 911, took him to the hospital. They took him to the hospital. Come to find out, he cracked his skull and had bleeding on the brain and brain damage at that point, right? Because he, you know, so much blood on the brain. And then for the next 3 years, he was kind of in this vegetative state, had a where he couldn't really talk, really wasn't opening his eyes a lot, you know. But however, before it got to that, we had some deep conversations because he knew he was dying. You know, I spoke with his doctor. His doctor was telling me, hey, get his arrangements in place if they're not already. But he knew he was dying. So he then himself went on this forgiveness marathon, if you will, where he went around talking to all people who he believed he did wrong in his life, right?
Oh, wow,
he hadn't talked to his father, right? And this is where that intergenerational trauma comes in. Him and his father fell out in the 70s, and it got so bad at that point, they had this argument. His father cut him on the arm. So they hadn't talked since 1975. He reached out to his father, said, Dad, I'm sorry. I love you. Past friends, women, my mother, my brother, and myself. He reached out, you know, he said, you know, I'm sorry, Justin, I was way too hard on you and your brother. So he forgave, you know,
right.
He went through this forgiveness process, which was really cool. And it was pretty deep, Paul. It really was. And it
well,
made me
so
even
vital,
look at him even
right?
different.
It's so vital to,
yeah.
You know, to being able to have, and one of the reasons I ask about the closure is Justin and I talked about, we're very similar in our beliefs, I think, of the pandemic. I call it the scandemic. I can't call it any, I can't call it any freaking thing else. Because I think one of the biggest crimes that took place, one of the biggest crimes other than our children, of what we did to them was people who had loved ones that passed and they were not able to resolve anything.
Right.
And that's, there's so many adults that, like, if you think about it, if you truly, like, I'm very blessed, man. My father died when I was younger. I was able to thank him. I was able to love on him, thank him for what he taught me. The man that he was. Betty, my mother, just died a few years back. I was able to sit in her house and thank her and apologize, and she could do all that. And these people during this scamdemic didn't get a chance to do that shit. And
yeah,
that's why we're seeing so many mental health issues among
right.
people that had that, even healthcare workers. I don't know if you follow that, but so many healthcare workers know what they did. They know what they participated in, and now they're starting to have that remorse.
Yep.
And that's why that was an important question to me, because for you to say in 2020, and I know there's some time, so 07 to 2020, that your spiritual rebirth is very important to me of how, what is that? What did that, what was that?
Wow, it was absolutely phenomenal, obviously life-changing. And just hearing you speak, when you spoke about the healthcare workers and the reason a lot of people are having issues is because of what happened and people feeling guilty and those people not being able to reconcile with their loved ones, really, you know, I couldn't help but think about my father in that moment, because as I said, he had that accident. Then they gave him that surgery at the hospital soon after he arrived. And then that was the last time I was really able to communicate with him, because when he woke up from the surgery, and one of the very few times, actually the only time, the last time he spoke for the remainder of his life, which was 3 years, the first thing he said, I was right by his bed, he said, "You're an amazing son," you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, that really just did something to me, right? And so fast forward all these years later, from 07 to 2020, going through life, you know, he passed in a week before his birthday in February 07. I got married in May of that year. And then my wife and I had a couple kids. And then, you know, I moved from the Detroit area to San Diego. And then in 2018, we left San Diego and headed to here to the Phoenix area. Now, during this entire time, I really got away from the church. Now, I won't say I got away from God, but I got away from the church. My wife and I, we were seeking. We started following different people on YouTube. We tried like different denominations, religions, etc., and nothing felt like home. Nothing settled well in the spirit. Okay. And, you know, I continue to search and search. We stop searching. 2020 comes around, and like millions of other people around the world, I was furloughed from my job, right? This was March. So then I got in contact with a good friend of mine. He's actually like a brother. Guy I met back in 99 or 2000, right around 2000. And this guy is just an amazing guy, very high vibrational, positive, highly spiritual person. And he said, Justin, he said, do you meditate? And I said, no, man, I don't meditate. Never meditated. He's like, you should do yourself a favor and start meditating. In fact, there's a great meditation that I'm feeling that you should try. It's called the Gateway Experience. And for your audience that are not familiar with the Gateway Experience, that is a meditation that uses binaural beats. It's a hemisync meditation. And it was developed by a guy by the name of Robert Monroe. Now, Robert Monroe passed many years ago, but he developed this meditation. And what it does, it uses these beats when you wear headphones or AirPods, where it sends a sound wave into a different sound wave, one into the right, one into the left ear. Once they meet up in your brain or your mind, if you will, it creates a third sound wave and it syncs the left and right hemisphere of the brains. And this puts you in a super deep, relaxed state. And then once that happens, a lot of people, I probably say based off my experience for people that I've introduced to this meditation, I probably say about between 85 to 90% of people have some type of out of body or spiritual experience. You know, it's become really popular the last few years here where we talk about astral projection and all these different things. And so I started experiencing these things. And just to give your audience a little background on Robert Monroe, he created this meditation back in the mid 70s. And then the US Army, their intelligence unit, found out what he was doing. And he was no quack. This guy was like a millionaire, did very well in business.
Well,
in
fact, actually, the radio I actually on your one, I got to tell you, man, I think I've done more research on you than any other guest. And shame on me to a bit, right? But you're so, the one that comes closest and probably is my buddy Danny Carroll. If you get a chance, look him up. But Danny's doing miraculous things with, you know, cancer patients and based on new German medicine or German new medicine, which isn't new. It's, you know, Dr. Hammer created this stuff back in the 70s, but same kind of thing. So the brain, and I did interrupt you, but what people need to understand, they're listening, your brain is so powerful. We use what, 8% of the bastard?
Yeah. Right,
it controls everything.
Yes, it does.
And sound waves and frequencies and do the research. Don't take my word for it. There have been doctors who have created they're curing cancer with sound waves, and then it gets stifled because the healthcare industry can't make no money off that shit.
Exactly.
Right? And that's kind of Danny Carroll's thing. But like what you're saying, the meditation, and I went away from it and I am getting back to it because yes, I can control this crap.
Yes.
You can't make things poof go away, but you can certainly control. So continue on Robert Monroe, because I searched him. And again, what does the government do? Use his shit for evil.
And that's exactly what they did.
That's what they did.
Yep, they sent their officials to his facilities in the mid to late 70s. And they learned, they had him tell them everything he was doing. And, you know, their scientists, you know, because they heard that this guy was having out-of-body experiences and some people he worked with. So they found out what he was doing. They gathered the intelligence, took it back to their facilities and started doing it. But what they did, they weaponized it, right? They started spying on the Chinese and the Russians, literally doing remote viewing and having these out-of-body experiences. And, you know, they're doing some crazy stuff nowadays. And for anybody that wants to you know, know about it more, the documents were released about 10 years ago. They were classified, but they were declassified. You can find them on the CIA's website, CIA.gov. They're there. And I have them. I've read them a million times. And
well, you know as well as I do, man. The average person, 98% people ain't going to go look at shit. They're going to go and they're going to just look at the headline. But folks, if you just go look, this is real, real, real stuff.
Yes,
it is. They've been doing this stuff. I was in the military. They've been doing things that are so, you know, when and surely to God, I'll end up, you know, getting a visit or something. But our government has been doing evil shit for a long time. It is nothing new. And this is real shit.
This is
real stuff.
Yes, sir.
Telecommunication. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's real stuff.
It is. As you mentioned earlier, the mind is so powerful. We only use, like you said, about 8%. But once we're able to learn how to use more of our mind, then we can have what most people would consider unbelievable out of this world experiences. So this is what I started doing in 2020. I started having these experiences. I then started learning more about not only the Father. Well, you know, I kind of, you know, grew up in the church, but I started learning about like archangels. And then I learned that not only is there God, but there's all these other divine beings that the Father created that were sent here on a mission to help us. You know, mine specifically, what I started learning about was Archangel Metatron, also known as Michael in the Bible, you know, the greatest of all the archangels. And, you know, I now have this special relationship with him. I wear this Archangel Metatron piece around my neck. You know, I have my sacred space, which is in my closet here, where I have Metatron and all this other stuff going on, you know, and I do my meditations and my prayers. But what the meditation allowed me to do was to calm my mind and observe, right? It allowed me to observe all the hurt, all the trauma, all that toxic, low vibrating negative energy that lived within that needed cleansing and clearing out of my temple. Right. And as I got deeper into the meditation, the spirit then guided me on how to do that. Right. So then like one of the first things that spirit led me to do was something that I said I would never do. And that was skydiving. So I went up 20,000 feet in the plane in August of 2020.
Why
and I jumped.
The hell would you jump out? When I was in the Air Force, they wanted me to go into the PJs. I'm like, why in the hell would I jump out of a perfectly good aircraft unless it's on fire?
Right. And that's what I told myself. Right. And the spirit spit. And I said, no, I ran from it. So, you know, I began the meditations in like maybe early April, right around mid April. The spirit was like, hey, you need to go jump. You need to go jump. So I put it off all that spring and I finally gave in and I did that jump in August. And I tell you what, Paul, that week leading up to that jump was probably one of the most stressful weeks of my life and my wife's life as well. But I'm so glad I did it, because it taught me how to handle fear. You know, when you look at people's troubles, when you look at people's challenges, when you look at people's defeats, seemingly downfalls, a lot of it is fear-based, right? Now, I'm not saying fear doesn't try me any longer, but I know how to control it. It doesn't control me. I learned that fear is a bully. And I also learned that fear fears. And what fear fears is not being able to make you fear any longer.
Right.
And so my thing, what I learned is that you have to go through it. You can't avoid it. You can't go around it. But once you go through it, once you step up to the plate and have that king energy saying, I got this, and I know that all is working in my benefit, then you then learn that God places the very best things in life on the other side of fear.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened to me. I did that jump in August. And then soon after that, Father led me to start a podcast.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and, brother, I'm telling you right now, man, you got some cool guests. You have a neat attitude. Positivity is everything. It's and yet it's the hardest thing because, you know, myself over the past 3 years, you know, that procrastination is a byproduct of fear. I'm afraid if I do this. And I've always lived my life. I've tried so hard, and there was a gap there where I became so afraid that I wouldn't do anything, and therefore I failed at everything. The answer to the question is no, if you don't ask the question.
There you go.
Right? Like, yep. You asking me to come on, or me asking, dude, I email everybody and ask them. I email everybody. I don't give a shit who it is. I've right. emailed Trump. I've emailed Biden. I don't give a shit who it is. What are they going to say? No? Okay, I already got no if I don't ask.
There you go.
Right? Love and I think that's like going back, and I'm going to segue that into, you know, spirituality and faith. So many people are afraid to have it because they don't understand it. Therefore, they don't even try. Then they don't experience what God, or as you have said, I've heard your words, and I have to look at my sheet here. You've said, I've got a Word doc. I've got computers everywhere, man. So I'm sitting here looking, trying to find, but higher power. Okay. If you don't believe in God, higher power. I always tell people God in the universe, you know, the universe and natural law. If you believe in natural law, that goes right into what you're talking about right now. Just natural
law. There
it is.
That's right. That's right. And the great thing about it, which a lot of people understand, but there's a lot of people that do not understand, is that we are truly, 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 truly one with the Father.
Right.
Right.
Well, as Bob Barnett, have you ever heard of the book, The Spiritual Puzzle?
Sounds familiar.
Okay. That so Bob Barnett's a friend of mine. He's been on a couple times. He's doing he has actually made it so we can get Spirituality 101. He coined that, and we need to get it back in schools because these young kids need to know we are basically at the essence, which is what you're saying. We are spiritual beings.
That's right. No doubt about it.
And what we've seen, and not to go left or right, because I will tell you this, I'm going to disclaim, people that are far, far left are idiots. People that are far, far right are idiots. Their minds are so closed, and now it's affecting our children, right? Mm-hmm. So to teach our children at an early age, we are at our core spiritual beings. You can't fight it.
Yeah.
You can't fight it. And then therefore, then they can find these things that my new friend Justin Williams is talking about to understand there is a power.
Mm-hmm. There is a power. So well said, Paul. And the thing is, that goes against what we've been programmed to believe all of our lives, right? The powers that be, for centuries upon centuries, they've known this, but it's been hidden from us. You know, we've been taught that, we've been taught certain aspects of religion and God and all these other things. And
well,
I always tell people,
just that one word, Justin, is the problem, religion.
Yes, yes.
And people who know me, I've got dear friend, my dearest friend, Pastor Bob, 84-year-old, and I think I might even send you some links. Check it out. Pastor Bob is an 84-year-old Baptist minister, and we got him doing rap songs, right? He's written rap songs.
I like
but
it.
But when Pastor Bob and I first met, I told him, I said, I don't go to the box. I don't subscribe to the box.
Right, right.
Because I believe in God. Now, I can share with you and the people that are listening, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. However, if people could just go to God and a spiritual power, the rest will take care of itself.
Yes, it will.
I don't care if you're a Buddhist. I don't care if you're a Hindu. Mm-hmm. I don't. As long as you don't blow my shit up, I don't care what you do.
There you go. There you go. And see, that's the thing. Like you said, you know, Christ is your Lord and Savior. You have all these other people, Buddha and Hindu and Islam, all these other things, right? But at the end of the day, we serve one God that loves us all.
Right.
You know, I don't believe that, you know, the God I know, the God I have experiences with, who is this deep, powerful energy and full of unconditional love. And this is my experience. I don't believe that this God, this source, this power, this energy, this universe will condemn those who don't follow a certain path, regardless of what the religion is, right?
Right.
And that's just my belief. We all have our individual experiences, and that's okay. That's the way things have been set up for one reason or another. At the end of the day, it's love. At the end of the day, it's having an experience. It's gathering data. It's treating people right. It's leaving your footprint on the world. You know, people get caught up in the rat race. I got to have this career. I got to have a house, a car, a title, this status. First of all, you can't take any of that stuff with you. Second of all, the Father wants you to give back in some type of capacity, which is most important. If you have all that and you're not doing nothing or anything, I should say, to leave your footprint on society, to help your fellow man, woman, and child, then what are you really doing here?
Right.
We all came here for a purpose. The purpose is not to make $1 million or become VP or president of a company. No, the purpose, I believe, is to love, is to help, to assist, to bring each other up. You know, the tide rises all boats, if you will.
Yeah, and there, you know what? There, I've had lots of conversations lately because I told you, Justin and I talked before we went on air. And, you know, I've had a lot of conversations in regard to the current state. Like, okay, in Arizona, and I'll bring it up just briefly. Arizona, the public school system says, we're not going to hire Christians because they're dangerous, they're scary, they don't feel safe, okay? So now you got this separation. But then at the same time, to me, it's all about natural law, right? So don't tell me that I have to believe in something that doesn't fall within the universe. Let's just go there. Don't even put G-O-D on it. The universe, natural law. And if we could just get back to that. Now, that doesn't mean that my God doesn't love somebody that's going against natural law. It's right. Just not correct.
Right.
Right? It's not correct. And that's between them and him, or them and the power when they get to where they go, right? And
right.
If we could get our society back, or we've never been there, if we could get closer to there, we'd be in great shape. And like you said, having that relationship, you've got your closet, right? You got your place to go, and you meet and you talk, I'm sure. It's got, if you're anything like me, man, it's freaky when he talks. It's freaky when it happens. Like,
man,
you know, when you're getting instructed and you're going, what the shit are you talking about, dude?
Right.
Now,
right.
I call him my boss. You know, Pastor Bob has a problem. Say, the boss told me. This is what the boss told me. He's like, well, I have a problem calling him the boss. I said, well, he talks to me the way Paul Jones talks. He talks to Justin the way Justin talks. Hmm. He talks to each of us, but the key is to listen, right? If you don't listen, you got nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and prayer without action is a dream, and dreams rarely come true, right?
Oh, man. Well said. I like that. I really like that a lot, Paul. You said a lot of good things right there. It's for each person, it's definitely an individualized experience. You know, when I go in that closet and I light my incense, I say my prayer, I talk to the Father, I talk to, you know, these other divine beings. And, you know, there's been some miraculous things happen in there, brother. I've seen and done a lot in there. I've had some out of this world experiences, if you will. And, you know, I learned that I have gifts. I've learned people that I'm supposed to reach out to help. And it's been just amazing. And I am definitely thankful for the experience. And I've, you know, obviously I have the book and I have the Father. I have it all documented in there. And I just thinking about it just kind of gives me the goosebumps, man, because the heart of gratitude I've had for my experiences to go from where I was to where I am now is Man, it's touching, man. I get emotional thinking about it, right? Because the old me has so many issues, so many fears, not speaking up for myself, not setting boundaries, not knowing how to communicate. But now here my voice is going around the world and, you know, having this successful podcast with amazing guests. I've been fortunate enough to have people like Robert Kennedy Jr., Dr. Robert Malone, David Icke, Chris Voss, Dr. Peter McCullough, and more, you know. And
I'm telling you right now, and I have not even scratched it. I think the one that you just put up was 112, was episode 112. See, I did my research, dude. I'm telling you, I could spend all day listening to your stuff. I would love to incorporate it in our app so people can listen to what you're doing. You've had some amazing people. I'm going to tell you right now, Topher.
Topher's the guy.
Dude,
he's my guy.
I've been around music all my life. Now, hip hop is not my deal. Rap is not my deal. So it's explained of why I had never heard of him. But this man, that man and you, that interview you did with him was amazing because, you know, it kind of just sums it up. I mean, one of the things, and let's talk a tad, you know, the battles that we're having as whether we identify as a Christian or whatever, if we identify as a, and I even hate that term, identify, if we are faithful people, we are under siege right now.
Yeah, spiritual warfare.
They are attacking all of us. And fortunately or unfortunately, the media, who I love that shirt Topher always wears, have seen him and it's like defund the media.
Yeah.
You know, they're funding this horse shit and then use the word Christian as a way to do it. But that's not true. They are not coming after Christians. They're coming about anybody that believes in natural law, the God and universe. That's who they're attacking. And we got to stand up, and you're standing up. I mean, you're standing up.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Thank you, brother. I tell you what, it is spiritual warfare. That's exactly what's going on out here. And there have been a select few like myself, like yourself, who have been called to go to war.
Well, we were taken down, dude. Here's the parallel that I found. I feel like, you know, when all the horse shit happened with the scandemic and the things that took place with us, thank God, God did what he had to do. He stripped my ass down so I don't have to shut up anymore. Ain't nobody can fire my ass. That's what he did to you.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like the timeline was exactly right.
Yes,
I'm going to use Justin as my tool, and in order to do that, I got to take away his fear.
Yes.
And once, brother, I love you, man. Once they took away Justin's fear, the armor was on.
That's right, man. You get it.
He stuck that sword in your hand and said, now you go, brother. Now you go.
You get it, man. You're spot on. And that's where I'm at. And that's where I will continue to be for the rest of my days here, man. I'm fighting the good fight, you know, through my podcast. And, you know, the father led me to start a nonprofit. I also sit on the board of another nonprofit here.
You're doing great
work
with the homeless, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it's about, right? Giving back, being a voice for those without a voice, man. Yeah. You know, taking steps for those who can't step, man. I mean, by me doing this and by others doing this, we're bringing up more warriors, man, because those people that are going to go through the healing process that are down on their last, these are people we're going to need in the coming times to further fight this war. Right. So I'm helping build these soldiers, man, just like the father built me up, you know, and those soldiers, well, once they get to where they need to be in a healthy state, they're going to build some more, right. And then they'll build some more. Right. And here we are, this united army in spiritual warfare attacking the nonsense that's going on in this world today. It's just evil. That's exactly what it is.
Well, I truly believe that. And buddy, it took a long time. It took 15 months. Actually, it took longer than that for me to realize what my God did to me. He made it so I was battle ready without any fear of losing my shit, my car, my how, who gives a crap, right, at this point? Yeah. You know, what are they going to do? Come take my car? Well, great. The payment book's in the glove box. Have it. You know, that's so much too, right?
Yeah.
And he's using, you know, one of the stories I want to share with you is at a time, and I'm sure you went through it. I'll ask you, did you go through times where you just felt really betrayed and or, holy crap, God, what do you want? Like, what is the deal? This is getting so hard. Did you reach that point? Like where you mentioned in one of your podcasts, your wife, it took her a while to wrap her head around it. You lost friends. You know, I've seen friends just, they've evaporated, man. Like they've evaporated.
Yeah, there are definitely some challenging times, Paul. Absolutely. Confusing times as well. And like you just mentioned with my wife, you know, when I started my spirituality experience and the podcast, you know, she had some fears. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing going away from Christianity? This is how, you know, this is what we know. And, you know, and then those doubts kind of crept in my heart, or I shouldn't say my heart, my mind as well. And thank God we worked through that. I've lost friends, man. I've lost family members too. I've lost very close family members as well. Yeah. You know, as things changed, as I rised up, as I got into this, my king mindset, my Christ consciousness, the universe just pushed all those people out the way that would not serve me in the manner that I needed to be served, you know, because
said in your interview with Topher, the higher power tends to clear people out of your life.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And that's exactly what happened.
Was that you that said that, or was that Topher who said it? Topher stated, right? Or was that you?
That was me. I believe
okay,
I said
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I got my document, man. I'm typing all this crap. One of my favorites, man, is if you live for their acceptance, you will die from their rejection. And that was actually a quote by Lecrae Moore that said during your interview with him.
I love that. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He actually said he couldn't remember who said it. And then I just punched up the quote and it was Lecrae Moore. If you live for their acceptance, you will die from their rejection.
Yes. Yes. I love that. That is so amazing and so true. So true. It's when you make a change in your life to do different, a lot of people do not like it because they like and are used to the old you. And then as you progress forward,
old you, man. It's like, yeah, like what happened to Paul? Well, you know what? Paul woke the hell up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. When you start taking those steps and living in your purpose and discover your purpose and your mission, people act really weird because they reflect on their fear of not being able to do the same.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people can't handle that. And I've had so many people get nasty with me and tell me all types of crazy stuff. What are you writing a book for? What do you have to tell the world? You're starting a podcast? Right. What are you doing, man? What do you mean you're starting a nonprofit?
Yeah.
What? Justin, please. Like, but I'm like, okay.
Well, and one of the hardest things for me was, you know, because I went through a long period of anger because I didn't understand, like, the rejection of people or the misunderstanding of people or lack of understanding or fear, you know, because, again, I've been having this conversation lately is... I'm pretty dangerous to be around. Justin, you're pretty dangerous to be around. Mm-hmm. You're pretty dangerous for people to tag their name onto you because it could affect their job. It could affect their, it could affect their, because they don't have yet the freedom or they're not willing to have the freedom. Because I don't know about you, but one of the biggest things that bother me is when people bitch about something yet do nothing other than post on Twitter, Twatter, and Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, now that bothers me. If, you know, it's, and I'll use a very simple thing that I have said before, and I will say it again. You know, people that are, say, pro-life, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they're on Facebook. Well, Zuckerberg gave 84 million shares, him and his wife, back in 2017, to a nonprofit that sole purpose is to support pro-life, right? Pro-choice, Planned Parenthood. That's where all their money goes. Now, I'm not making a statement, but I am making a statement. Well, if you're supporting Facebook, then you're paying the value of the stock to be high, then you're buying the scalpels.
Yep.
And if you're not willing to get off the shit, it's like children that are killing themselves. You know, young women are dying in groves from Instagram. Mm. Instagram. Yet counseling centers, schools, churches, they all have the Instagram icon on their website. Oh, isn't that kind of like sending your kid to Michael Jackson to babysit? So that's where I have a problem, and I think people will back away from me. Certainly, I have had some experiences. Have you seen some of those people that have evacuated start to come back?
You know, I have not. I have not, man. Okay. I have not seen them. Not at all. You know, I keep up with a lot that's going on. My main focus is, keeping my nose to the stone and grinding, man. You know, I learned a long time ago, well, not too long ago, but I guess a couple years ago, that as much as I love to help and do for people, you can't help and do for everyone, right? Yeah. You know, I'm at the point now, if I say something, give advice, give love, do the Father's work, if people aren't wanting to hear me, I just move on, man.
No, isn't that basically what Jesus said to his disciples? Absolutely. When he sent them out?
Yes.
You know, hey, if they reject you, just wipe the dust off your feet and get the hell out of there, right?
Keep it moving.
And because you can't. You can't. You're not going to. I had a conversation earlier today. You know, our independence was won with 33% of support. If I can get 33% of people if we could get 33% of people to stand up, then, you know, things would be good. And we're not even near 33%. You know, like in Arizona right now, if 33% of the parents that send their kids to that middle school pulled their kids out, that policy'd go away.
Yeah.
That policy go away in a minute. If you're a businessman and you lost 33% of your business over a policy, you change the frickin' policy.
Overnight, same day.
Within nanoseconds, man.
That's right.
You know,
that's like
healthcare workers. So many of them were so against the vaccination, against the mask. I mean, there's still the mask mandates down in Florida and, you know, all over the country. My buddy, Dave Coleman, was just up in Michigan. His uncle needed to go to the hospital for a test. David was made to strap on a mask. So was his uncle. And he's like, when is this going to end? I said, it's going to end when the patients stop coming.
Uh-huh.
When the patients say, stick it up your ass, the mask goes away. They lose 33% of their revenue, Jack. That is over.
It's over. You know, the power is definitely in the people.
Well,
I preach that all the time.
That's why I have such respect for really far, far left with the woke and all those guys. They'll stand up. We won't stand up. We just post that shit. Well, Justin, I'll tell you what, man, out of respect to your time, I'm sitting here looking, man, I promised you I would not take up more than an hour of your time, but we're going to have to talk again, man. I mean, there's so much, but I do want you to, any last words to people that might be out there, looking, for some answers or looking for some hope, and just feel free to plug whatever you have, you know, if you've, anything you need to lift people up, that, because there's so many people hurting in the world right now looking for answers. And I do believe God has blessed you, in many ways to help people find themselves.
Thank you, brother. Yes, he has. And I accept the mission with great honor, what the Father has bestowed upon my life. You know, that's why I'm here to help. As I mentioned earlier, it's spiritual warfare, and we are out here as spiritual warriors fighting the good fight for humanity. And I recommend people to do what I did back in 2020 is find a space in your home where you can have some alone time, where it's just you and the Father, you and self, and start meditation. You know, there's so many people, and I think you just mentioned this, there's so many people out here that are hurting. So many people have had traumatic experiences, whether they realize it or not, which has shaped their reality, you know, those experiences. You know, if people are out there feeling lonely, feeling empty, feeling like they need to be loved, you know, I recommend that you start doing meditation and, you know that healing will come, right? You know, I really have worked hard over the last year and a half, 2 years to eliminate the word believe and even faith from my vocabulary, because I'm at a point now where my mindset is just strictly knowing. And Paul and I spoke a little while ago in regards to how powerful the mind is, and you can truly shape, change your reality with your thoughts, right? And as you go deep into meditation and you're able to then observe the inner pains, the inner emptiness that you're experiencing, the Spirit will definitely guide you into what's necessary to then begin your healing process. Hey, I know it. And I've helped other people over the last 2 years do this as well. But you have to do it, and you have to stay disciplined about doing it. And I don't guarantee
that's a key, man. Mm-hmm. It's got to become a discipline.
It has to become a way of life. Absolutely. Just like you get up in the morning,
or anything, right? Brushing your teeth, brushing your hair.
Yep. So, you know, it's not easy, but it's definitely doable. And I guarantee, and I don't guarantee a lot, but I guarantee if you do these things, you start that meditation, you change your mindset, you reprogram your mind, you're going to see change. You know, seek and you find, you know, and change will come from within. There may even be someone sitting to your life. The teacher will appear when the student is ready, you know, type thing. Just like me back in 2020, where my friend for many years reappeared, and he kind of, you know, helped me, and it's kind of, you know, has been my guru, if you will. A lot of resource, and you know, and I'm not, you know, afraid to say, you know, some people need counseling too, you know, go speak with a therapist, you know, if you've never done that before. But tap into spirituality. There's so much there. There's so much there. It's infinite ways to step into your purpose and get to know thyself and your higher self, you know. And then when that, another piece of that, look at what you're doing as well. Give back, you know, in some type of capacity. There's so much fulfillment, so much joy, so much blessings in that. You know, I encourage people to find something to give back to humanity. What you may be doing a lot for yourself, a lot for your family, but what are you doing for others? Others that are truly in need. I always recommend that as well. So that's my two cents, if you will.
Well, buddy, that is great. Great advice. And you know, the only other thing that I might say to people is, especially if they're hurting or they've been hurt by other people, or if they've hurt other people, those phone calls, you know, reach out and, you know, apologize, or reach out and give forgiveness, because you can't move forward as long as you're angry. You can't. And at the end of the day, you know, Betty used to always say to us, if you can't fix it, make it, fix it, make it go away, or change it, fix it, change it, or make it go away. Don't waste too much time on it. You know, you can't fix it, change it, or make it go away. So instead of living in a rearview mirror, you know, you got to go forward. And, it's advice that I've come back to, you know, over the past couple months is, if I can't fix it, change it, or make it go away, I'm not going to let it eat my soul.
I love it. And I tell people all the time, my little saying is, don't get upset over yesterday's news.
Right.
You can't afford to. I mean,
Right.
move forward in peace, move forward in love, whatever that takes to do,
Right.
make it happen.
Yeah.
It's so much to be done.
Yeah.
People, find your purpose. Each
Yeah.
and every one of us has a purpose.
I got that sitting right here too, man. I mean, I mean, I pulled out so many things that you said. You have to have an awareness that you are not living your purpose, right?
Yes,
That's something that
yes.
you've said. The universe is so perfect in nature. We've talked about that. God didn't make any mistakes. And if you
Right.
don't believe in God, great. Nature didn't make any mistakes. And if you think against that, go plant an apple seed and see if you get a pear tree and
There you
go
go.
from there, brother. I mean, I'm gonna walk
Right.
outside, the moon's gonna be up, shit's gonna be happening. Just on, man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Hang in there for just 1 second so we can say goodbye real fast. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna actually go ahead and spin our song One Bad Day Away out of respect for the work you're doing with the homeless. I don't know if you had a chance to read up on my buddy Steven. One of the things that I've done most all my adult life in traveling is I like to hang out with homeless people. I like to get their stories.
Nice.
And
Yes. Yes, me too.
Steven is a unique guy, no longer homeless, thank God. I took a little bit of time with him, and now he's turned into one of my best friends. So I'm going to spend one bad day away, and I'm going to turn it over to the autopilot. But if you hang in there, Justin, I want to say goodbye to you. And this has been Paul Live coming to you from the studios on Race Road in between Ron's Roost and, you repeat it with me, the closed steak and shake. That son of a gun's still closed after 7 years. And we'll be turn it over to y'all, finally. Thank you, Justin.
We look away as we get closer, conveniently pretend to take a call. The torn dress is from her husband. He took his life after they took his farm. We call her home.